Tonight I'm going to talk about listening. This is actually a request topic from last week. And so what does it mean to be a good listener? And I'll start with a quote. I think it was George Bernard Shaw who said, the principal problem in the the principal illusion in human communication is thinking that it took place at all. And I think it's, you know, we're such a verbal culture, you know, and people meet in this verbal culture and I'm bursting with things to say and the other person's bursting with things to say. And it's easy just to talk past each other in this world. And I think that happens a lot. It's actually very sad to me that we've gotten to such a political situation in this country that really the two sides are not talking to each other anymore. You know, they're screaming at each other, but they're not talking to each other. And so what does it mean to listen? Well, we all know that, you know, some of the things that don't really count as listening, you know, if I'm there, you know, trying to think of what to say in rebuttal to somebody or, you know, just chomping at the bit to, you know, being quiet, but I want to blurt out the thing that I want to say, you know, of course, that isn't really listening. You know, and if someone is very defensive toward us, you know, like, all right, tell me what you want to say, you know, we don't really feel listened to. Genuine listening, real listening, is an act of love. And it really has to come from a place of love. In other words, we're listening best when we're listening with kindness, with compassion, with acceptance, with allowing. In some sense, good listening involves seeing the other person as they want to be seen. Now, of course, it's tricky, you know, sometimes we're with a friend or a lover and we, you know, we want to give them feedback and maybe we don't see things exactly the way they see them, but still we need to have that capacity to meet them where they are, to see things as they see it. And, you know, so we can really say, you know, all right, I get that. And there's this other perspective to bring in also, you know. Because until people feel safe, they can't really receive new information. And so certainly listening involves a heart quality. And it's a very interesting, you know, how can I say, it's, you know, one challenge, you know, can we listen to our lovers and our friends and the people close to us? Can we bring that heart quality to strangers? You know, can you extend that genuine, caring, heartfelt compassion, that generosity of the heart in listening, you know, just in a brief encounter with a stranger, you know, a checker at a grocery store, something like that. And so there's a depth possible with listening. And there's many layers of listening. So I'm going to say, think about this hypothetical conversation. Suppose you have person one and person two. And let, you know, they might be dear friends, they might be lovers, you know, there's some kind of ongoing relationship, you know, some kind of caring that's established. And person number one day, feels the urge to talk about something that's kind of vulnerable, something that they normally wouldn't talk about. But for whatever reason, they're just that day, they're feeling a little more emboldened to talk about it. And so then they start to move toward that topic in conversation. Now, person number two may at some level pick up where the conversation is going. And person number two might be threatened. But person number two might not even be aware at the very subtle changes at the corner of their mouth, the corner of their eyes. Maybe their eyes get a little wider. You know, what's ever going on with the eyebrows and the furrows of their forehead might be the most subtle changes possible, but it might be this very subtle change communicating, I don't like where this is going. And person number two might not even be aware that they've sent that message. Now, person number one, because it's such a vulnerable topic, they don't need a whole lot of discouragement to abandon ship on that topic. You know, they're not, you know, it's something they normally wouldn't talk about anyway. And so a little bit of discouragement and they don't share it. And so an opportunity for listening is lost there. And it's funny because if you ask the people, it might be happening at so unconscious a level that people are not even aware that something got shut down there. Like, if, you know, we ask them later, well, were you listening there? Oh, yeah, of course I was listening, you know. Listening is a lot about attention. And it's always a funny thing about attention. We know what we pay attention to. We don't know what's eluding our attention. And listening is a lot like that. Now, it's tricky in listening because, how can I say, there are some voices in the world that come at us, you know, very confident. You know, here's what I have to say. Some people are quieter. And then there's some people that actually need coaxing. They need to feel safe before they can open up and share, you know. And so listening has to have a quality of providing safety for them, providing a kind of refuge for them. You know, everyone in this culture really walks around touched somehow by toxic shame. Mm. And all our wounded places, shame is part of those places. And so anything that starts to get close to an area of shame, then I start to feel this sense of wanting to hide, not wanting to show up, that sort of thing. And so it's not enough that that someone just provides a space, you know. Is there an invitation? Do I walk around with an invitation in my heart, an invitation to invite others to open up to me? You know? One of the metaphors, one of the writers I was reading used the metaphor of, you know, if other people have, as it were, homeless parts inside themselves, can I be the shelter for the homeless places inside of them? You know, can I be that large? And of course, to get to that point of being able to listen to other people that well, I have to listen to myself, you know? And again, just as there are loud voices and quiet voices out in the world, there are loud voices and quiet voices in the psyche, you know? And we all know the loud voices. We've known the loud voices our whole lives, you know? You know, even the, you know, you start spending any time reflecting, you get to know the medium voices, the kind of quiet voices. But then there are the voices that hide at all costs. And again, these are the places of shame. They're more interested in hiding than being seen. You know? And again, to listen to these places, it's much more than just providing the space, you know, providing the empty space where they can come forward and talk. It's, are we extending an invitation? Are we extending deep allowing? You know, the deep allowing that says, I'm going to allow this part of me to show up however it shows up. You know, and that deep allowing, you know, if I can extend that to myself, then I can extend it to others. you know, the limit of what I can listen to out in the world really is very much dictated by the limit of what I can listen to in myself. If there's a place in me that is just intolerable, I can't go there, then I can't listen to it in the world. I can't hold space for that in the world either. You know, and so there's this profound mirroring between the internal and external. Part of listening is attuning. Attuning is when I drop into my own vulnerability, and from my vulnerability, I'm able to sense where the other person is. You know? And so that I'm able to listen to not only the words, but I'm able to feel where they are. And I'm able to hold them and respond to them even in the places where they can't fully express themselves in words. And it's really the paradox of vulnerability. And of course, we live in a culture that is terrified of vulnerability and fears it and runs from it. When we're able to stand in our vulnerability, it really becomes a powerful way of knowing the world, a powerful way of knowing ourselves and others. And it opens up a possibility for connection that people who run from vulnerability, they would have, you know, no, they would not be able to connect it that way. Listening is a gift. I've seen so many times, just in small interactions with a, you know, again, a checker in a store, a homeless person, just the fact that I'm able to spend maybe 30 seconds of pure listening with that person, it can be many times I just see like such relief come over the person, like, wow, somebody is actually paying attention. You know, we live in a world in which people are starved for attention, you know, because of course everyone's, you know, facing a screen and, you know, and then the COVID situation has isolated us even further, you know, people are starved for attention, you know, and to be able to provide that listening is a profound gift. It's the gift of attention. Ultimately, that is the gift of the Buddha himself, the gift of attention. So at this point, I'll share the quote sheet in the chat. A great one from Confucius. The master said, if you look at their intentions, examine their motives, and scrutinize what brings them contentment, how can people hide who they really are? How can they hide who they really are? And what I like about that, just that idea of listening so carefully, taking in somebody so deeply. You know, we think that we hide who we are, but it's funny how much, you know, how all the ways that we show up that we don't even realize that we're showing up. Robert Baden-Powell, who founded the Boy Scouts, said, if you make listening and observation your occupation, you will gain much more than you can by talk. Bernard Baruch says, most of the successful people I've known are the ones who do more listening than talking. Paul Tillich said, the first duty of love is to listen. Carl Menninger says, listening is a magnetic and strange thing, a creative force. The friends who listen to us are the ones we move toward. When we are listened to, it creates us, it creates us, makes us unfold and expand. And I love that idea that listening is almost the cement that creates deep bonds between people. Very wise man Dag Hammarskjöld says, the more faithfully you listen to the voice within, the better you will hear what is sounding outside, and only she who listens can speak. Thomas Merton says, by being attentive, by learning to listen, or recovering the natural capacity to listen, which cannot be learned any more than breathing, we can find ourselves engulfed in such happiness that it cannot be explained, the happiness of being at one with everything in that hidden ground of love for which there can be no explanation. And I love that image, the hidden ground of love. Such a classic Merton line. Doug Larson said, wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk. The Zen teacher Tony Packer says, the emergence and blossoming of understanding, love, and intelligence has nothing to do with any tradition, no matter how ancient or impressive. It has nothing to do with time. It happens on its own, when a human being questions, wonders, inquires, listens, and looks without getting stuck in fear, pleasure, and pain. When self-concern is quiet in abeyance, heaven and earth are open. Psychologist Leo Buscaglia says, too often we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around. Psychologist Marion Woodman says, healing depends on listening with the inner ear, stopping the incessant blather and listening. Fear keeps us chattering, fear that wells up from the past, fear of blurting out what we really fear, fear of future repercussions. It is our fear of the future that distorts the now that could lead to a different future, if we dare to be whole in the present. Ralph Nichols says, the most basic of all human needs is the need to understand and be understood. The best way to understand people is to listen to them. Classical pianist Alfred Brendel says, the word listen contains the same letters as the word silent. Stephen Covey says, most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. And I would add, they listen with all kinds of intents other than the intent to understand. Jane Goodall says, change happens by listening and then starting a dialogue with the people who are doing something you don't believe is right. Alan Alda says, listening is being able to be changed by the other person. That incredible vulnerability in listening. Rachel Naomi Raymond says, when you listen generously to people, they can hear the truth in themselves, often for the first time. She also said, our listening creates a sanctuary for the homeless parts within another person. Jimi Hendrix said, quite simply, knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. A line from one of David White's poems, to find another's voice, follow your own voice. Wait until your own voice becomes a private ear that can really listen. Leslie Jamison, in an essay called Empathy Exam, says, empathy isn't listening. It's about asking the questions whose answers need to be listened to. Empathy requires inquiry as well as imagination. Empathy requires that you know nothing. Empathy means acknowledging the horizon of a context that extends perpetually beyond what you can see. Brené Brown says, if we can share our story with someone who responds with empathy and understanding, shame can't survive. Simon Sinek says simply, there's a difference between listening and waiting for your turn to speak. Roy Bennett says, sometimes all a person wants is an empathetic ear. All he or she needs is to talk it out. Just offering a listening ear and an understanding heart for his or her suffering can be a big comfort. And Richard Paul Evans says, sometimes it's not strength but gentleness that cracks the hardest shells.